The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon. How are you?
I have to say, what a great song, and I have to watch it because my mic is open and it's very tempting to sing, but I don't want to traumatize people's ears.
You know what?
Can I
say? We'd love to. But isn't a great song? Way Down We Go, Kaelo. Oh, absolutely. I think they're Icelandish, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they certainly are talented.
I think so, too. I think so, too. So is the IAF, the Israeli Air Force, because they've retaliated after rockets. They've hit Hamas targets.
Yes, we did have accounts of rockets fired into Israel. Thank goodness they landed in open fields and nobody was injured. What we also know is that some of the bases that were struck were in the southern city of Rafah and Gaza City, and as well as open land southeast of Gaza City. And we know that at least one man has been taken for treatment because he was seen to be bleeding. But this is in response to rockets that were fired and hit near the Sha'ar HaNegev Regional Council. So what we have done is we've targeted two military infrastructures that do belong to Hamas terrorists, and we've put them on blast that this is not going to happen. However, the rocket was claimed by a previously unheard of group that follows a Salafist form of Islam, but because we hold Hamas responsible for getting everybody or keeping everybody in line for the whole territory, we have fired subsequently on Hamas.
You know, I at one stage I was keeping an Excel spreadsheet with all the names of the different terror organizations in Gaza and the region, because it was absolutely, I mean, there was generally three or four words that were just used in different orders, and that's how you got your name. But gosh, is this a new one now?
This seems to be a new one. We don't know what it's named yet. Those details have not been made public.
Are there guidelines?
A previously unheard of group.
Are there guidelines in Gaza? In other words, do you need to have a minimum of 10 people to be a terror organization? Can it just be a family? How does it work? And do they register their names? Do they have a names register anywhere in Gaza?
You know what? They probably do. It's probably like, you know, if you open up an amuta or a non-profit here, there's certain criteria you have to follow. Mm. You have to have so many members. You have to be transparent, blah, 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 blah. They probably have the same. They probably have the Council for the Registration of Terror Names. And this is what you have, and this is what you can't have. And this is what color your flag can be. Mm. And this is what it can't be. And this is what you should say and do when you are making a YouTube clip.
Yeah, I'd love to. In fact, I just see an article in there somewhere. The controversy. Speaking of,
you know how I feel about your articles. Be careful what you offer.
Unsigned WhatsApp saying the Gaza terror groups remind me of a scene from The Life of Brian. Yeah, it's exactly. Oh, that's right.
We're not the popular. Yes,
that's right. I forgot
the popular people's front.
All right, so I'm going to ask our listeners if you were to name a new terror organization, would you come up with something different, or would you stick to the normal tried and tested? Look, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it, I guess. But maybe it's time that some of these organizations came up with something a little bit more creative. You know, we've seen a lot of creativity coming out of ISIS. You know, their marketing material at one stage was very, very impressive. They haven't put out anything for a while. I guess maybe that's why they have had some success, if you can define it at that. The controversy around the Kotel, it's heating up. What is going on there now? Where are we?
It definitely is heating up. Well, where we are today is still a lot of anguish, a lot of aggression. We've got the Jewish Agency taking out an ad in one of the popular papers slamming this decision. We've got several bodies within a U.S. jury saying that this decision is absolutely deplorable, and some are threatening to cut their ties or cut relations with the state of Israel, which I think is a little bit hysterical, because it's you know, Israel is necessary for the Jewish people to have a homeland. It's an insurance possible.
Yeah, I mean, let's not get carried away.
Insurance so let's not resort to knee-jerk reactions. At an emergency meeting at the Knesset today, a lot of very, very angry representatives vow that they will not rest until the egalitarian part of the Kotel is reinstated. On the other side, we have the Haredim using this opportunity to try and push for further legislation, not just with the Kotel, but they actually want to ban any public transport on a Saturday, on Shabbat. There are, in some cities, there are bus services that run, there are Monit Shirut or taxi services they run, and they're actually pushing to stop that. They have made significant gains with this decision, with another decision that was taken, again, pandering to the Moharedim, saying that the Beth Din of Israel has absolute control over all conversions. Another highly controversial and polarizing topic here in the country, and now they're pushing for this. But this is really, really polarizing Israel and the diaspora community, and it's also polarizing, I think, Olim in Israel, because you have the more Haredi Olim who are saying, you know what, to allow for egalitarian prayer is to contravene Jewish law, and you've got a lot of Zionist organizations coming out and saying this is not this is not how we practice Zionism. Ben-Gurion, Herzl, and Jabotinsky would be spinning in their graves. And we also know today that one of the participants at the emergency caucus for dealing with this particular issue started to sing Hine Matovu Manaim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. And we have heard everybody from Defense Minister Victor Lieberman to Michael Oren to Natan Sharansky coming out and saying, this is a blow to Jewish unity.
You know what I found so fascinating about this? And I spoke yesterday after your interview. We chatted with Avi Meir, who is the international spokesperson for the Jewish Agency and who's been very, very involved in this. As I said to him yesterday, he was all dressed up with nowhere to go because they cancelled their dinner with Netanyahu over this issue. But the point that I raised with him is we've seen a tremendous amount of pushback from various sectors of Israeli society in terms of conversion. Versions, marriages, control over kashrut licenses, etc. And I was wondering out loud if this Kotel issues, if this Western Wall issue where there's been a freeze on the egalitarian minyanim or service, prayer services, I wonder if this isn't going to be the camel, the straw that breaks the camel's back ultimately. Because and of course, camels being so Middle Eastern, it's such a perfect example to use. But I really do get the sense that this could become bigger than some of the ultra-Orthodox parties anticipated. And what I find interesting about my own reaction is the egalitarian services and this type of approach is not my issue. I don't have it as a cause that I believe very strongly in. I'm not moved by it. But once we get to a situation where people are being bullied and ostracized, then it becomes my issue. So it's so interesting that the decision has caused someone like myself who previously didn't support the cause to suddenly become vocal about it.
Well, this is it, and it could spell a serious downturn in opportunities for Prime Minister Netanyahu. This could also be the straw that breaks his political back, because there's a lot of pushback because he is seen to be pandering to the ultra-Orthodox again and again and again. And even within his own ministry, people are starting to push back quite dramatically. They're saying that maybe he is getting far too ahead of himself. And we're sitting with a situation where there are deepening chasms between Israel and the diaspora community for a lot of reasons. Some people have issues with some of Israel's policies. Other people have issues, you know, within their own communities. There's a lot of assimilation in certain communities, a lot of threats in communities. He's rubbed the Europeans the wrong way by saying, you know, you have no future in Europe, you need to all make Aliyah. A lot of European Jews feel very, very strongly against that, that they will not be told what to do. And now we have the juggernaut of American Jewry, very, very powerful.
And that's really about funding, largely, isn't it? If we want to be a little crude about the whole subject.
Largely about fun. You know, I've got a conference tomorrow with the particular Zionist organization that I represent, WITA. It's going to be very interesting to hear if this is brought up as well, because we are a woman's movement. We are a feminist movement, and even though some of us do not agree with certain practices, we really stand by the right for everybody to practice their particular stream of Judaism the way that they want to. And this is why many, many of our Zionist organizations see this as an absolute blow to Zionism, because Zionism is supposed to be inclusive. We have horrendous situations around the world, which we discussed yesterday with the Chicago Dark Parade. We see it in Europe. We see it now in the UK with the Labour Party. We saw the survey done last week that said that American youth, Jewish youth, are feeling more and more alienated from the state of Israel. And this does not help Jewish unity at all.
Right. Unsigned WhatsApp, thank you very much for sending it. It says, next they will want a spot at the Kotel for gays. I already thought there was a purely men's section and a purely women's section.
Exactly. We don't discriminate here in Israel.
And here, unsigned as well, saying Herzl offered the Pope to convert most Jews to Catholicism. I wasn't aware of that. So he can turn in his grave as much as he likes.
Well, wow. I also didn't know that, but very interesting from somebody that's unsigned.
So it's very interesting. I must tell you that if I have to take a survey of most of the comments coming from our listeners, with the exception of the odd one, most of our listeners seem particularly unmoved by this, and in fact, quite the contrary. They feel that the decision to keep the Kotel and to keep the Western Wall as it was with no change, that seems to be the consensus from a lot of our listeners. If I'm wrong, I would love to hear from you on 34519 or 0621482374. I really would love to hear from people, because the definite sense that that I'm getting from a lot of our listeners is that they are much more supportive of Bibi's of Netanyahu's decision to freeze this move rather than criticizing him.
I just want to clarify one thing. Mm-hmm. This is not changing the status quo at the Kotel as you know it. This is just creating a space, as we discussed yesterday, at Robinson's Arch, which is actually removed quite a way away from the actual site that we normally go to, that can hold egalitarian prayers. So it's not changing the status quo. To me, it's fairly simple. If you don't want to go to an egalitarian prayer service, don't go.
Absolutely. Well, that would certainly be my view, but absolutely fascinating. And another story, Nikki Haley has been a victim of hate speech at New York Pride. What happened?
Well, this is quite fascinating. We don't know what was said, but we do know that she was having lunch after Pride with her teenage son, Nalin. I think a lot of people aren't aware that Nikki Haley comes from a mixed Indian family. And I don't know if this was racist against her. I don't know what it was. She hasn't elaborated. What she did do was send out a tweet. She said, "We, including my son, were booed by patrons saying hateful things as we left lunch at the Pride Parade in New York. Our country is better than this. Hate never wins." And we don't know if this is because she's not pro same-sex marriage. We don't know, what it's all about, but we do know that she was the recipient of some hate speech.
Mm. Interesting. Sorry, I'm just looking at the SMS line. When the Jewish Agency reports negative reports on the Jewish state, when making Aliyah, they are traitors to the Jewish state. I'm not sure I quite understand that fully. Someone else saying, Howard, if they give in now with this, it opens up the doorway for many other things and it becomes a slippery slope. I'm not sure that the argument that of the slippery slope is one that I fully buy, because you know, in today's article that I wrote for Times of Israel, I gave the example of the South African Jewish community 40 years ago, where every rabbi knew that their congregants were driving to shul on a Friday evening, and they didn't condemn it. But they were coming to shul, they were breaking Shabbos in order to come to shul. And there was a feeling of an acceptance that if the rabbis wanted people to be at shul, then they needed to be accepting. And I'm not sure. I mean, I would argue that that's a case where, in fact, by relaxing it a little bit, it brought people closer. So my argument with this whole thing is, if somebody goes to an egalitarian at the service at the Robinson Arch, and again, it's not something that I would ever want to participate in. It's just not who I am. It's not what my belief system is. But if somebody goes there and they're feeling content and they're feeling that there's a place for them, they're going to walk over to the main Western Wall Plaza, where they're going to come across students from the yeshivas who are dancing and singing and seeing a different type of prayer. They won't be as angry because they've had their own services. Surely that's how we bring people back, and that's how we bring people closer to God, rather than telling them that they have no place to worship. I'm just seeing it completely differently. I don't know why I view this so vastly differently to a lot of our listeners.
I agree with you. I think that, that there needs to be inclusiveness. We don't want to drive people away from Judaism. We want to bring people closer to Judaism. And you know, this is Israel, where you can have the most halachically perfect Shabbos, or you can spend it doing downward dog, but still being aware of the Shabbat and the sanctity and the beauty of Shabbat, and that doesn't change. And it also reminds me of this whole discussion that we're having about educating our youth, and I'm busy writing a blog about that, is that when we get aggressive with them because they disagree with the way we feel they should be, we just push them further.
Well, it's interesting. So here's another response. Thank you. And unfortunately, unsigned. So make your shul mixed so that my shul might get more members. I'm not really sure I follow that logic. But okay, time is 5:29. Okay. Rolene Marks, unfortunately, we're out of it, which means we're going to have to chat to you tomorrow. No doubt there'll be further developments. But you can keep the SMSs coming, the WhatsApp coming. If there's anything of interest, I will send it. I will forward it to Rolene for a continuation of this discussion tomorrow. Rolene Marks, thank you as always for your amazing insight and the update from Israel.